We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Bart Winkler. This is the Bart Winkler Show. Happy Valentine's Day. It's the Tuesday, February 14th edition. This is a video that was made on August 1st of 2020. Lenar Young is the guy's name. And he said, when you're on hold, and then he put a video of him jamming out to that song for 2 minutes. Pretty entertaining. The song's also gained popularity on TikTok as well. And then the song, the exact song for You're on Hold Music, appeared in a Bud Light commercial with Miles Teller. So part of my Monday was trying to take down Bud Light single-handedly on Twitter to no response. They stole the concept. Companies do this all the time. They stole the concept. I would hate to be associated with Bud Light. And that's why the Bart Winkler Hurry Up, whenever we do have one, will not be sponsored by Bud Light. And I've said this before, I believe, that, you know, when I talk about a product, it's something I use. I use the CBD CBN gummies at Happy Place Hemp. I use the THCO gummies. I use Happy Place Hemp. I use them. I use their products. They've been helping. HappyPlaceHemp.com, promo code BART, 25% off. I eat Omaha steaks. I used to go to Perkins like all the time. I use the products I talk about. If I ever endorse Bud Light, that will be me selling out. I don't even know the last time I had a Bud Light. It's gross. I would hate to attach my whole identity to Bud Light. What an embarrassing thing that would be. I guess the last Bud product I had was Bud Zero, because I was trying some alcohol-free beer. Shit's gross. A couple of things I did want to comment on related to the Super Bowl, and I got some voicemails here as well. Voicemails always brought to you by Carl's Place. 402-915-BART is how you can leave a voicemail. 402-915-BART is how you can leave a voicemail. Carl's Place bringing you those. Carl's Place is the place for your golf simulator needs and setup and everything you ever wanted. If this is a dream of yours, it can be realized. You got your tax returns coming. This is a great thing to kind of reward yourself with after the IRS took your money for a while and got an interest-free loan on your money. You can use your money on something that you like at Carl's Place, the golf simulator. Check them out, carlofet.com/Bart. carlofet.com/Bart. That link will also be soon available on my website being created by the guys at SunAnt Interactive, and I use them too. SunAnt Interactive making my website, and I'm excited to eventually show that to you guys and the couple of different things that we'll have going on there. Super Bowl thoughts a couple of days later. I'm still a little peeved about how it ended. I guess we'll start with that first. I do have a voicemail from Spark Guy on it. So let me play this first. I'll react, and then we'll go from there.
Hey, Spark Guy here. Little Super Bowl recap. Had some points listening to the podcast, the live show on a podcast, but a couple weeks. One, really brings to light the competitive balance thing that you always talk about MLB. It was all Patriots. Now it's all Chiefs. Competitive balance may have less to do with salary cap or whatever. You have a quarterback. You're out in the woods, and to hear that somehow the NFL has that portion figured out, no, they got a more entertaining product. So long-winded way of me saying it's further proof, hearing what you said, the Patriots will never happen again. It's happening again. MLB's problem is it's baseball, and that's about it. It's not salary cap or anything else. Now, second part, Jalen Hurts, him, Sirianni, clowns, they'll never be back. And the whole idea that Hurts is unbelievable, dude dropped the ball. He literally just dropped the ball and gave up 6 points.
Okay, first of all, Mahomes did that a couple of weeks ago also. Jalen Hurts clown, that's a take. Okay.
They're a run-heavy offense that's all gimmicky. They're going to change the rules and get rid of that quarterback sneak stuff. That's my prediction. Same prediction as after last year's Super Bowl. Burrow wouldn't be back. These dudes ain't going to be back. Sirianni's a clown and Hurts is a clown. And then finally, your take as an impartial observer, you said that that penalty at the end was bogus and it ruined the Super Bowl. That was a totally legit penalty, and you guys are biased observers because you had no interest in the game. You watched that game, you were invested, and what you wanted to see was the ball in somebody's hands with 90 seconds left with a chance to try to win it. And that wasn't given to you. You wanted the game fixed and a clear penalty that was called, that happened to not be called, so you could have the preferred ending. He turned him. He twice grabbed him. Once he turned his hips a little bit, and that's a floating route. Like, dude's got to run under the ball. Dude's 6'4", whatever, Schuster, whatever. Like, he gets two or three more strides at that. That's a competitive play without that hold. So, no, you guys are biased. You wanted to see it end well. And chalk another one up for Chiefs and the guy who most deserved that win, Jackson Mahomes. So, have a good one, Bart.
All right, smart guy. I guess, I mean, that's a good point that I was a biased observer. I said I was unbiased, but I was biased. I did want a good game. I did want a thrilling finish. And we had a thrilling game for 58 minutes, and it was taken away from us at the end. Now, I argued on Monday's show that at that point, you don't call that penalty. It wasn't like the play with the Rams and the Saints a few years ago, where you had no choice but to call that penalty. If you don't call that penalty, life goes on. Life goes on. Like, it wasn't, I don't think it was that bad of a hold. Lazard got held worse a couple years ago. You know, it didn't need to be called. And I think, and this is going to not play well, but I think if you're Carl Cheffers and you call that, you need to go and be like, you need to turn on the mic and say, guys, I'm really sorry. We're calling a penalty. I know this is a great Super Bowl. We got to stay partial to what we believe are the rules. I'm sorry, but this is a penalty. First down, Kansas City. I just didn't like that he was like, oh, tweet, penalty. It's the biggest moment of the biggest game of the year. And I don't think it was consistent. That was not being called a lot. It's like if you don't call holding all game and then the last play of the game, holding. It's like offensively. It's like it doesn't. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And whether that's fair or not, I don't think that if Spark Guy, if you and I talked that out, I don't think we'd come to an understanding. I think we'd get each other's points. I think we do right now. But I am. I'm bummed. I'm bummed. The Super Bowl was ruined for me. The Super Bowl was ruined. This is the last real football I'm going to get. Now for the next 8-16 weeks, I'm gonna watch the XFL, and I will watch the USFL. And part of that is because it still gives me something to do on DraftKings and stuff. But I also am interested in the product. I'm interested in these spring leagues succeeding, and nobody cares. So I feel like I'm going to watch football. I think one of my brothers will get into it. I honestly, like, Tim Shea might get into it at McGuire's. But I honestly, Toby got into it with me a little bit. But I don't know. Like, I don't know anybody that matches my XFL, USFL enthusiasm even to, 25% angle. I hate to do this live, but as I'm taping, I just got an email back from Batteries Plus. Thank you for an interesting career with Batteries Plus. We have carefully reviewed the information you provided and at this time have decided to pursue other individuals for the social media specialist role. Batteries Plus. You guys ask me, Bart, are you going to pop up on a Milwaukee station again full time? Brother, I can't even get a job at Batteries Plus. So, you can answer that question for me. Oh, I got to take a second and let this one sink in. I had a lot of eggs in the batteries plus basket. Oh, ay Dios mios. All right. Let me breathe. Good time to tell you about Omaha Steaks, just because it's anything not batteries plus related. Omaha Steaks, like I said, I do get Omaha Steaks. Yes, I'll get a shipment here and there if I'm going to talk about them, but this is something that I've purchased many times in the past for ourselves and then also for a gift. I think what is common is, especially around Valentine's Day, you might have got the gift of meat, you know, with birthdays coming up. This is a big Father's Day gift or whatever, but, you know, dad's birthdays and stuff, grandpa's. There's been times where you order it for them and then you're like, ah, crap, that is a good deal. And I'm getting $30 off at checkout with promo code BART for this entire package. I think I'll have to send one to myself as well. You buy a really nice gift for somebody, and then you're like, oh, man, I wanted that. So then you end up doubling up. So that's why I use the promo code BART, $30 off your order when you check out. The promo code is BART, omahasteaks.com. Again, I have used it in the past many times. The pork tenderloins are great. The filet mignons are really good. The burgers are great. And it's just a way to have like a, you know, sometimes you want to go out and have a nice meal, but you don't want to go through the whole rigmarole and everything. And you can have that at home. And they are very easy to cook. The meat comes to you ready to go. You just cook it as long as you need to. Throw a couple fixins on the side, whatever. Maybe get crazy. Get the apple tartlets for dessert. OmahaSteaks.com. The promo code is BART. Use that at checkout. More Super Bowl batteries plus. Man, oh, man. That one stung. That one stung.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
A couple other thoughts. Melvin Gordon clapped back at a tweet. And I can't read my mentions right now because I got involved in the conversation. Melvin Gordon had a tweet. Well, first of all, Bolt Beat had a tweet. BB_Chargers. Melvin Gordon really was the kid in the group project who slapped his name on the assignment, but he got a Super Bowl ring out of it. Gordon was a Bronco this year, not a Charger. Got released and then signed on the practice squad with the Chiefs. Never played, signed on the practice squad. He quote tweeted that tweet with a picture of him smoking a cigar, holding the Lombardi trophy in the locker room. Mr. Adetokounmpo, so someone we know on Twitter, said, were they wrong though? And I said, man's hands are on a Lombardi trophy. It doesn't matter. This is like my most liked tweet of all time. But I got a lot of people like, you know, it's just hard to read them. There's 100,000 views on this tweet. And it's just me in the replies. That's what I'm realizing. Don't save my good tweets for just my standard Twitter. I got to jump on other people's accounts and tweet on there. 2,300 likes. All right. But a lot of dislikes. And there's an argument about, does Melvin Gordon deserve a Super Bowl trophy? I think what's less deserving is, like, this is a Jeff Teague situation with the Bucks. What's less deserving is, let's say, the Bucks win the title this year. Well, I think Jordan Warrett and George Hill and Serge Ibaka would all get rings for that. I don't think they would deserve it as much. I mean, they helped, you know, to a certain point get the team to this spot. You can make an argument. I think it's more deserving if you're on the team at the end. And we don't know what Melvin Gordon's impact was. Did he give Pacheco some information? Did he have a nice relationship with McKinnon? Was he able to help in practice? Did he play some of the Eagles running backs and scout team? If you're on the team, you're deserving of a ring. I'm not going to take that away from Melvin Gordon. Yeah, like there are other guys that did more. Like in that game, Jalen Hurts did 9,000 times more than Melvin Gordon. And Jalen Hurts isn't going home with a ring. And Melvin Gordon is. I mean, the guy sat on the bench in his sweats, but he's going to walk away with the Super Bowl ring and be a Super Bowl champion. But he is a part of that team. I'm not going to discredit Melvin Gordon for winning a Super Bowl. You can argue, like, does he deserve it less than other guys? He's still a Super Bowl champion. Also, I'm trying to get on Melvin's good side because I want to talk to him about this on my pod. I see his DMs are open, so I might try to slide in a little bit later. One guy who I think does deserve a ring, certainly, and I was looking over his career because he just announced his retirement after the game, Chad Henne. Chad Henne's going to be 38 this summer. Listen to Chad Henne's life. Chad Henne, I think Chad Henne might have the perfect life. Now, family aside, like, I love my wife, I love my son, I love my family, but just in terms of the trajectory of a career of a life, he's born in West Lawn, Pennsylvania, and that's like a nice little small town, population 2,000, so he's always going to be the king of West Lawn. Actually, Kerry Collins lived there too. Okay, they got something in the water. Now it's probably contaminated because of that thing in Ohio that no one's talking about. But that's neither here nor there. But it should be here. That's a big problem. Also, are there aliens? We still don't know. Then he goes to Michigan and is like a stud in college. Right? I mean, Chad Henne had a good college career. He was the MVP of some bowl game. He was first team all Big Ten in 07. And he was big man on campus. He's the quarterback at Michigan. So, you know, there were spoils that came with that life. Oh, let's see. What else did he do? Then he gets drafted in the second round, plays a few years with the Dolphins, and gets to be a starting quarterback. So he's, you know, he, 1 year he wins 7-6. The next year he wins 6-8. The first year that I mentioned, he had 12 interceptions or 12 touchdowns, 14 picks, 15-19 the next year. Kind of flames out in Miami. Goes to Jacksonville, starts for a couple years. He knows that he's not good enough to be a good starting quarterback. But he'll never wonder about it. He'll always know. And then the rest of his career, the next 9 years of his career, he's a backup in Jacksonville for four of them. And now he's living in Florida. You take a Pennsylvania kid, goes to Michigan, lives in Miami and Jacksonville for a decade, no state tax, and then latches on with the Chiefs and wins two Super Bowls in 5 years. He's played in a few games over this time. He's certainly deserving of a ring. You're the backup quarterback. Plus, there was a playoff game just this year where it looked like Mahomes was hurt and not going to come back. Henne let him on a touchdown drive. And now he's going to retire at 37, have his whole life in front of him, be financially secure, be able to do whatever he wants. I think that's a great life. That's a great life. So, like Chad Henne, and this is why I think he's a great life. Like, Patrick Mahomes is never going to be go anywhere the rest of his life. Chad Henne can walk into a mire, probably in Michigan, and no one will know it's Chad Henne. They'll be like, is that now? At most. So you've got this level of succeeding, but also a level of anonymity that people that get super famous always say they want. I think right here, Chad Henne might have the perfect life. Chad Stephen Henne. Plus, he was born in 85, a year after me. So he's someone that grew up without internet and then got internet. So he knows, like, how cool things used to be and how cool things are now. And he also knows that technology is going to end us all. So I think he's got a nice life. Chad Stephen Henne. What a life. Another thing about the Super Bowl I wanted to mention, the broadcast team, kind of had a few conversations during the game. Kevin Burkhardt, look, Fox could have gone a bunch of different ways with their number one football guy after Buck left. Like, if Buck and Aikman did that game, it would have felt more like a Super Bowl because they've called so many Super Bowls. Maybe Burkhardt and Olsen didn't feel like a Super Bowl because this was their first Super Bowl. Fox could have gone out and got Al Michaels to call a Super Bowl, but Al Michaels called a playoff game this year. He fell asleep during the biggest comeback ever. Burkhardt did very good, and so did Olsen. That's a top-notch team. And over time, they'll start to feel more like Super Bowls if they get those Super Bowls. One thing to really watch is this Tom Brady thing. So Tom Brady's going to take a year off, and you can't after Greg Olsen's year and getting great remarks for the Super Bowl. You can't just take him away, throw him with Dick Stockton or whoever, and then have Tom Brady be in that booth with Burkhardt. I think the best thing you do is go Burkhardt, Olsen, and Brady. But I was reading today the Olsen-Burkhardt connection. Kevin Burkhardt's story is when he was 30, he was making $18,000 a year working at a radio station calling high school football games. Greg Olsen's dad was one of the coaches of the games, and he's known Greg Olsen since he was in high school. I didn't know that. They have a long connection, long history. That's why at one point in the broadcast, he said, hey, we're a long way from New Jersey, where they both kind of started out. I don't think – the one thing you don't do is just put Tom Brady in the number one booth and put Olsen somewhere else. But are you going to pay Tom Brady $37 million to have a number two booth? Or does Fox do the thing where they're like, we have two number one booths, but then who do you pair with Tom Brady? Unless Tom Brady's going to be the play-by-play guy. It's a very interesting media story for sure. Might be the most interesting media story is what happens with Tom Brady and Greg Olsen. What happens there? Some Super Bowl odds for next year already. Of course, the Chiefs and the Eagles are among the favorites. Chiefs at 5-1, Eagles at 7-1, Bills 8-1. Niners, Bengals, all under 10-1 odds. The Raiders are 25-1 and the Jets are 25-1. Those are two teams where Aaron Rodgers may go if traded. The Packers are 33-1. So this is like a Brooklyn Nets 33-1 when it looked like KD and Kyrie were both out. I said he should take that. Then they got down to like 5-1, but then both got traded. Can we talk about the Nets for a second? The Nets have a very interesting team after trading KD and Kyrie. And that was basically like trading two Josh Haders. I mean, we traded Josh Hader. That'd be like if the Brewers traded Hader and Williams. What a weird year for the Nets. Everything was going right, and then they both wanted out, and then suddenly KD's a son. What a mess. So Packers right now are 33-1. If you think that Rodgers is coming back, maybe you take that. If you think that Jordan Love's going to be good, maybe you take that. Packers are 33-1, right along with the Lions, Rams, and Saints. Yeah, I could see throwing a couple bucks on the Lions. The Rams, I don't know. The Saints, who's even like in control there? Who's anybody there? Other NFC North teams, the Vikings are 50-1. It should be lower since they'll never win a Super Bowl, and the Bears are 75-1. So some of those odds that came out here today. Got some more voicemails to play. We'll do that coming up in a little bit on different topics. Also want to talk about the rumored new ownership for the Milwaukee Bucks. Don't like that. But we'll talk all things Wisconsin sports with our buddy J.R. Radcliffe right after this word from Happy Place Hemp. And this is the word. I'm just going to do it. HappyPlaceHemp.com. The promo code is BART. 25% off every single order you get at HappyPlaceHemp.com. We're talking the CBD and CBN nighttime gummies. We're talking the mango THC-free gummies. Maybe help you focus, help you feel better. There's the creams that you can use. There's the tinctures that you can use. There's even things for your pets, especially some of these. I wish that we had this stuff for my dog. We had a dog growing up, and her name was Bailey, and she was a mess. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I feel like we were bad owners, but I took her for walks. I maybe fed her too much food under the table. But after she had lumps all over her body, she had glaucoma. She really did not have a good last couple of years of life. And maybe some of the stuff could have at least like made her not feel as good. I didn't have like the connection with my dog that a lot of people have with their dogs. But I do kind of just feel like I sadly watched her die for 4 years. It's like Marley and Me without it like being sad. It's just like, it was at the end, it was just like a plant that was dying. I've never really talked about this. That's kind of how I felt. Anyway, Happy Place Hemp, the tinctures would have helped her. HappyPlaceHemp.com. The promo code is BART, 25% off your order. One last Super Bowl note. If you're still mad about Rihanna, move on. You're a grown man. This is ridiculous. J.R. Radcliffe joining us now. What a moment.
What a moment.
You know, I do, like a lot of people that I'm having on, it's too long. I shouldn't have waited this long to have you on. We're boys.
Yeah.
You do great work. Right, I'm still not sure of your job. I know you work at the Journal Sentinel.
Yeah, I do. Trending sports reporter is the official title, Bart. And it's a little fuzzy. I have to explain it. You know, if you tell people you're a plumber, there's no explanation, or a truck driver or whatever, teacher. Trending sports reporter requires a little work. I admit it, but you know, it's all right. Once people, you know, once I get to it, people are like, oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm like, yeah, damn right it is. It's a lot of fun. I'm lucky. So
I'm glad I'm already like married into a family at this point in my life. And because if I had to explain what I'm up to like a prospective father-in-law. So what do you do? You were on the radio? No, I was. And I guess I still am like twice a month on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, that's cool. What else do you do? I do a show every day from my basement, like the same thing I did when I was 15. Does that make money? I mean, I sort of, but well, what else do you do?
Chasing your dream, Bart.
People be like, what else do you do? I'd be like, I DoorDashed last weekend because I had a promo code. If I did 25 deliveries in a week and I got an extra $200.
Did you do it? Did you make it? 25 in a week? That's a lot.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I did it though.
That's
okay.
Great.
What else do you do? I see you were doing stuff with Milwaukee Pro Soccer. Yeah. I'm like one of their brand ambassadors, but we don't really have anything on the books until May.
Until there's, you know, grass everywhere.
So what else do you do? Are you looking for other jobs? Yeah. Well, I just did a podcast with J.R. Radcliffe and no lie, 30 minutes beforehand, I got a job rejection letter from Batteries Plus for their social media job.
No, you did not.
I did.
Oh, what did the other people have that you didn't have that they hired?
A love for batteries that I just cannot match.
Oh, Bart, I'm so sorry. If I were in charge of Batteries Plus, I would unquestionably hire you as my social media guy. Did they not see your work with Milwaukee Pro Soccer? It's quality stuff.
They must not have, or maybe they didn't think it translated to the intense world of batteries. Yeah, Batteries Plus.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm sorry, but that sucks.
Well, that's all right. I mean, whatever.
That sucks.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about everything, really. I mean, you do a good job. I see you all over the place covering all of our teams. So you kind of get, you're like not so much a beat reporter, but you're there enough that you get a little bit of taste of,
yeah,
you know, man, what everybody's up to. I guess we'll talk about our teams in a minute, but just like Super Bowl thoughts. What was funny was, and not funny, actually pathetic and sad, is I was doing a Super Bowl show on Sunday night and I just wanted to talk about the Super Bowl. And we did 60 minutes, commercials, halftime show, the game, the penalties, the coaches, and the YouTube comments that were coming in. I had no intention to bring up the name, but people kept bringing up the name like Aaron Rodgers, which I know you guys cover and you personally probably cover way too much. But I think that that's what we're seeing is just another, like, I'm always someone who says, one Super Bowl in 15 years is not enough. And you have fan bases that haven't won ever. And they're like, that's ridiculous. But I thought when Rodgers was at that podium in 2010, that we would get this, that we would go back to a Super Bowl, maybe lose, that we would go back to another Super Bowl 2 years later and win, that there'd be like five different Super Bowl years because we had a quarterback who was doing things we've never seen. And now the Chiefs have that. The Chiefs basically had what we had, only they're actually getting it done. So I wasn't really rooting for anybody on Sunday, but the problem is the more the Chiefs win, I think the more, JR, that it makes the Packers look awful. Not just Rodgers. We talk about Rodgers a lot, but everything that's happened in the last 15 years. Like, so now I'm kind of sad the Chiefs won.
Yeah, and the Chiefs did, they lost, they've lost guys over the last couple of years, and then they've drafted beautifully to make up for that. That seems to be what has kept
them. They lost Tyreek Hill.
And they moved on like it was nothing. I mean, look at the receiving core. It's nothing special. You wouldn't say, oh, wow, look at the weapons they've given Patrick Mahomes. You wouldn't say that. I mean, how many people knew the name Pacheco, you know, before a few weeks ago? How many people, honestly, Marquez Valdes-Scantling is one of their better guys. And he disappeared in the Super Bowl. Like, he was
one target. Did nothing.
Yeah, he was great.
Juju's best play was getting held.
Totally agree. They find a way to get the best out of their talent. I would say the Packers did that too at points, but certainly not consistently. I mean, I think I forget about how that Aaron Rodgers, who won the Super Bowl, wasn't even like fully formed yet. That guy wasn't an all-pro. That wasn't one of the best quarterbacks in football that year, but he became that like starting the next year. He was great. I mean, he you're right. How can that guy go on and win four MVP awards and none of those years win a championship? I don't know. I mean, the Chiefs, this is what, four straight years that they've been to the conference championship game. They're this
inevitable.
Five straight years. Yes, five. They're just inevitable. Like, you know, over the course of the year, no matter what Travis Kelce is trying to say, like, over the course of the year, if you ask some rando NFL fan, well, who's going to win the Super Bowl this year? They'd be like, I don't know, probably the Chiefs, you know, like they're just at that level and they stayed there. Obviously, they had a secret sauce that the Packers didn't have. I mean, that 2011 Packers team really is probably the biggest disappointment, the one right after the Super Bowl, because that team was freaking 15-1. And it seems like all they needed was just like one more, maybe two more difference makers on defense. And they roll to a Super Bowl. And that obviously didn't happen. You know, then there's the Seattle game. Like, they've had so many close calls that easily could have gone the other way. And looking over the course of history and the course of the last few Super Bowls, there are a lot of games that could go one or two, you know, one or two plays change the course of history. So the Packers have gotten a little unlucky is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And I'm not somebody, like, I think that what I've realized, and really more so this season than others, just because I've been able to, I think, talk to people on a more personal level on the podcast, is that there are still a large amount of Packer fans that are just happy that we get what we get. And I don't know if they live through the 70s and 80s or what it is, but I think we should, like, I think we should be looking at, I mean, we're the Green Bay Packers. I think we should be looking at the Patriots and the Chiefs and these teams that get it done. Don't bow yourself down at, well, the Bears. I mean, you'd hate to be a Bears fan. Yeah, I would. That's why I don't think of them. You'd hate to be a Lions fan. I know. That's why I don't care. I don't look at what I have and think of in football. I don't look at what I have and be like, they have less than me. I feel bad for them. In my life, I might. But in football, I'm like, oh, I have a one-car garage. They have a three-car garage and a pool. I want that. So, and that makes me entitled, but it's sports. If you're not entitled, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's my whole reason on the Packers.
I hear you. For me, I can only speak for myself in this regard. Like, when they won the Super Bowl in both 96 and 2010, I was not sad about what happened the following year, at least not to the degree I would have been otherwise. Okay, they lost the Super Bowl the next year. Really, really sucks. Thought they were going to. But, you know, they won last year, and they got back. It's awesome. Yeah. You know, 2011, I said what I said about them mostly in retrospect. Like, at the time, it was like, oh, that really sucks. But they won last year. They were the best team in football. It was a really fun ride. You know, then time goes on, and you start to think about those things more and more. Like, they really should have won in 97. They really should have won in 2011. I allow myself a couple years sort of halo before I really start thinking, would be nice to get back to a championship again. And, you know, you can't appreciate it in the moment. You can't watch the years tick by and think, well, Aaron Rodgers is still good. They'll win next year. Aaron Rodgers is still good. They'll win next year. And now here we are at the precipice where not only are you confronting the fact that Aaron Rodgers won't be here, that they probably aren't going to be favored to win the Super Bowl, even if he is here. And that, okay, you just saw Patrick Mahomes. And how do you even, I saw people trying to argue it, but like, Patrick Mahomes is better than Aaron Rodgers. He will have a better
career. He's a Hall of Famer. He's already a Hall of Famer.
Yes, 100%. Hall of Fame isn't even the bar here. Like, he's going to have more rings. He's going to have better stats. He's going to be better. He's going to pass the eye test. It's going to be, he's a better quarterback. And it's like, now you're really confronting Packers didn't get the most out of what they had. You know, Rodgers won four MVPs. That's ridiculous. Like, that has literally only happened one other time in history. And they didn't make the most of it. So yeah, it's definitely sobering. It is sobering to be a Packers fan and see the Chiefs, especially with a, like, Andy Reid being a Packers, you know, disciple, assistant coach from the Packers tree, see him have that level of success. Yeah, it should sting a little bit. The Packers are better than a championship once every generation. You know, they are absolutely stacked some of that up. They should have absolutely stacked some of that up, and it didn't happen.
So then it's another question that I get sometimes, and I'm not ready to like go there because I don't want it to be the same. But with Giannis, like if Giannis wins his second, because Patrick Mahomes, you're talking, you can say he's the best quarterback in the league. Mm-hmm. Now he's won his second. Now he's one of the best of all time.
Agreed.
And Giannis, he's already top 75. Really, he's already probably top 20. I mean, you can even make an argument top 10. And if you want to go crazy, I'll go with you. And we could say even higher than that. But if he wins his second championship, then I think this he gets into this new – like Mahomes went through the little realm of current to history over the weekend. And I think Giannis can do the same. And with the Bucks, it's like I don't want to think of, well, what if Giannis just wins one? Because I don't want to say we wasted Giannis the same way we wasted Aaron Rodgers. But we really do have something special here. And I do think that, you know, as long as they stay healthy, and I think, you know, the Jay Crowder moves fine. They didn't lose anybody with it. I think that second championship maybe comes sooner than we hope. But, again, we'll see. NBA playoffs are always so intense.
Yeah, I guess if you want to feel fraud about it, you know, they could very easily win in 2023. Of course they could. After that, it gets a little dicey. We're talking about an old roster. Like, Giannis is the exception here. They're relying on Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez and now Jay Crowder. I mean, that's just to name a few. Like, their window isn't nearly as open as we think it is. It is wide open this year. It's wide open right now. They're an elite, elite team. And I think they probably will be there at the end of the year for sure. But after this, I don't even know. Like, how long is Chris Middleton even going to be here? Do we know for sure that he's going to stay? It could get pretty dicey pretty quickly. And if there's a new ownership element, you don't know right now what they'd be willing to spend to make it work. And spending in the NBA is messed up anyway with the salary cap. It's kind of a complicated picture. So you don't really know what their options are going to be. They've traded all their draft picks. Like, they're not just going to hit on some guy in the bottom half of the first round anyway, but they're certainly not going to when they don't have any picks to use. So you kind of like, I don't feel the urgency for 2023 for the Bucks. But I think if they get bounced, especially if they get bounced before the Eastern Conference Finals, which I think would be not a disaster, but pretty disappointing at this point.
I might say disaster.
You could. I think you're going to have people confronting it awfully fast. Like, oh, shit. Wait, can I say that? Can we do that?
You can now. You're the first person to ever swear on this podcast.
I don't believe you. But yeah, I don't know what they go. I think the realization is going to hit pretty quickly if it doesn't work out this year.
Let me just do my standard joke. Anytime someone swears, I say, you can't fucking do that, JR, you asshole.
I didn't get the, you know, like, before you go on these shows, you usually clear it. Like, well, what are we family friendly? Are we not?
I don't know. I try not to swear.
Yeah.
But sometimes we swear a lot.
You know, it happens. When Batteries Plus says, sorry, we're going in a different direction, it fucking sucks. That's what that
yeah,
is.
I'm gonna pick up my kid today from daycare. I'm so distraught. I'm gonna say, son, let's fucking go. Life has no fucking meaning. And all the 3-year-olds will look at me like, what's the fuck? And I'll say, shut the fuck up. Your life's going nowhere.
I have this vivid memory when I was in kindergarten. I was on the bus and I came back home and I was really confused about something. And I came up to my mom and I said, Mom, I offered Zach some of my Mountain Dew. And Zach's friend said, you're not supposed to say, would you like some Mountain Dew? You're supposed, or sorry, other way around. I'm ruining the story. Zach offered me some Mountain Dew and I said, no, thank you. He said, you're not supposed to say no, thank you. You're supposed to say, fuck off, Zach. So I repeat this to my mother and I can still hear the sound my mother made, the like the breathing in banshee sound, the immediate realization that, oh, wow, that word's not right. That's not something I should have said. So, yeah.
I was playing baseball in the backyard with my dad where he would pitch to me. I would hit it. I would run around the bases. He could never tag me.
Yeah.
And one time he tagged me at second. I go, Dad, you silly bastard. He's like, whoa, where did you get that?
Well, Dad, you.
That's really now funny. I have like 10 videos of on my phone of my son saying fuck.
Oh no, Bart.
So you don't even care. That's one thing I like. You know, you've been around, you've seen this culture and the sports, and I think that what we're seeing right now is, you know, Packers are always, you know, it's Packers, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I love what the Bucks have become. I love that every night, you know, I can just, I like Bucks Celtics is coming up Tuesday night. I'll get on We'll do a YouTube show. We'll get a ton of people, a ton of interaction. It'll be great. It'll be great. Bucks fans are looking for an outlet to talk. I provide a little small one. But even when it's like Bucks Pistons or Bucks whatever, and even though the regular season isn't so meaningful, like the Bucks are key. There's a lot of fan attention to them. We all care. I'm seeing it, not to talk about the Packers, but with the Brewers. I mean, they're offering some of these Sunday packages that are like they would never offer before. The Josh Hader thing, I think, blew up in their face in a way that they didn't expect, like on the field, maybe, but not at the ticket gate. And I'm sure that once it gets, you know, spring training starting and once it gets to be nice again, like people still go to the games. But mm-hmm. I think this is kind of like what we've seen with the Packers. If you got to either be contending for the top, or the best years for fans are when you're contending and you get there, obviously. And then I would argue that like not a lot of expectations, and then a miracle run is more fun. When you're a team that's like, yeah, we want to get in and see what happens. And I get the argument for that in baseball. But the level of apathy, I think there's a real level of apathy. Even with the Bucks, it's like, yeah, but we're going to contend for a title. Like, we might lose a game that we shouldn't, but we're contending for a title. With the Brewers, it's like, I don't know, man. I've personally never felt like this, where they seem like such an afterthought. I'll probably go to more games this summer just because I'm trying to get my kid to like sports. Although I should probably root for a different team if I want him to not have a godforsaken life in baseball. I'm just surprised like how quickly the Brewers went from a real, I feel like the passion just in a snap, and I'd snap, but I actually don't know how.
I feel exactly the same.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
It's not all just the trade.
No,
maybe it is.
Well, that was definitely a big aspect of it, but also this has been it was going on all year. They were down in attendance. They're down in just juice. Like, people aren't, they're just not living and dying with the Brewers the way they used to. And I we wrote a lot about this. And one of the big things that really caught my eye was people talking about the TV situation. There's a lot of people who've cut the cord who don't get news. And now 2 years have gone by without that. So they have lost that connection. They no longer know many of the players on the team. The coaches, you know, they just haven't been present. It hasn't been part of their lives in their homes. And they just, you know, they phased out. So I think that's a really, really big deal. And they're going to have to, I mean, I don't really know what the Brewers can even realistically do. You know, there's a lot of Bally's going through, or Diamond, which runs Bally's, going through bankruptcy. There's a lot there. Maybe that changes, maybe it doesn't. But they lost juice fast. I don't know how much of it is truly in their control, in that, you know, this team was obviously in the NLCS, Game 7, 2018. And then they've like slowly fallen off from there. You know, the pandemic slows everything down, but you know, they got in 2019 and 2020 and 2021, but they didn't show great. They didn't do well. And then 2022, here they are, where they should be still doing that well, and they're not. Like, it's just really hard to replicate that. It's really hard to replicate the vibes of what you're describing. Expectations were high, but they weren't sky high. And all of a sudden this team is going to the NLCS and it's great. It's a summer of the Brewers in 2018, and everyone is behind the team. It's a Milwaukee Brewers town through and through. And you just can't replicate that after 4 years and a pandemic of, you know, not having that. They don't have that vibe anymore. They don't have a lot of superstars. The one superstar they have has fallen off. And the game itself, baseball as a game, is less exciting and interesting and more formulaic. And I don't have a problem with that personally, but that does sort of impact the moments that you have at the ballpark. 15 strikeouts is cool, but when everybody's doing it, it's just kind of like, okay, another 15 strikeout game. You know, like it loses its luster quickly if you don't have that star power to bring people back in. And I just don't think the Brewers just don't have that. They don't have that right now.
They don't right now. And it's like, they'll be good if like seven guys have above average year, but that's a lot to ask. And we've talked about the TV thing before, but I don't think, like, I think you saying it right now had an impact on me. I don't think about that as much because I've been watching the Brewers on TV. I'm somebody who's like, I don't care what it takes. I will have the channel that the Brewers or Bucks are on. I can't imagine not. There was one summer where I lived in La Crosse. I think it was 08. So they ended up they went to the playoffs that year, but I lived in La Crosse for two. It was the last 2 months. I knew I was leaving. and I sublet an apartment, and I didn't have cable, and I wasn't going to worry about it. But I ended up going to the bar down the street and watching all the games, or I'd have the game on my radio, and I stayed super connected. But I think that what happens to a lot of people is it just – it's not a priority for them. And even in nights where, okay, I'm going to be a dad and be present, or be a mom and be present, and my kids or whatever, but the game's on, and I go to bed, and I'll sit down and watch the inning. It's just not even on. It's not even an option because they have made it harder to get to, and I do think that that – is happening. Plus, I do think, like, not that we can't support more than one thing, but the Bucks being the team to then win it and completely taking over the city when they did, and this becoming more of a basketball town in that summer, like, that was such a perfect storm for the Bucks, where everyone was so distraught with everything that had happened. Like, going back to the Packers, all their missteps, the Badgers not winning, the Brewers not winning, the Bucks themselves not winning. And then you had the Bucks win a title in a year where things were like, we were getting over this pandemic, and there was really no Summerfest, and there was nowhere to go. And the thing to do was go downtown and be with people and watch the Bucks games. And I think that that really hurt the Brewers. I don't know what the rankings are. But the Bucks winning, it did not help the Brewers. It hurt the Brewers. And now, because they have something else that they have to measure to, I think that the Bucks winning was like one of the worst things that could have happened for the Brewers.
I agree that it had an impact. I still think, despite all of this, that the Brewers probably still have a leg up, believe it or not, over the Bucks. It's close. Certainly much, much closer.
I mean, we're like statewide or citywide?
Yeah, a bit of both. I think
citywide or suburb wide.
Well, now you're onto something. The Bucks own Milwaukee. Or I shouldn't say the Bucks are Milwaukee's team. You know, like, I don't sense, and granted, I'm not often outside of Milwaukee, so maybe I'm the bad judge of this. I don't sense that the footprint outside of, you know, maybe in Madison, they're kind of a big deal, but I don't think the Brewers exist throughout the state more than the Bucks do, for sure. And in Milwaukee, I still think that the Brewers fandom is pretty good, but part of that is just circumstance. You know, in the summer, they have the whole sports scene to themselves. They have, you know, much more inventory than the other pro sports leagues in terms of games played and, you know, room seats in the stadium. Like, it's really easy to get to a game. I still think that they hold on there, but I've thought about that a lot too. Like, the Bucks gave fans something else. You know, it wasn't, especially in 2021 when the schedule was so skewed into the summer, you know, like you said, July.
Yeah, the summer being part of it, it being a gathering spot, it being de facto Summerfest. And I think another thing that's really important is that allowed the NBA playoffs, especially when you're good, it allows time for momentum to build.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers, when they make the playoffs, could be in on a Friday, out on a Monday.
You're right.
And that's a weekend, and it doesn't allow time for the momentum to build. And I think that the Bucks' success is one of the bigger reasons why the Brewers' apathy is what it is right now.
That's a very good point. The way the schedule works out, you know, you've gone through this whole 162 game season and you're in, and then it's over. With basketball, you're guaranteed that. And it's even nice where, you know, the Bucks will play, I don't know, the Pacers in the first round. They're out of it now, but like, they're going to play a team that they'll beat in the first round, so that you even get like a week and a half of just warm up playoff basketball, and then you get to the good stuff, and that's a 7-game series, and then, you know, like you said, there's just so much momentum, and football is a once a week thing, so there's so much momentum, and baseball doesn't really allow for that. And yeah, I am with you. The Brewers have definitely fallen off from where they are in terms of juice, in terms of fan engagement, and I think what you said, you hinted at, was kind of right. Like, the Sunday Funday packages, the X Golf, the, you know, the things they have to do that are a little more outside the box. And they're not even bad ideas. I think they're good ideas. It's just, you have to emphasize those now, because simply like having this player or this team or this product isn't enough to get people super engaged. That is a little bit, you know, a little bit of a red flag. I'm sure they would argue you're competing with every, you know, everything, every sports team is competing with streaming services and things like that. So like, I'm sure that's their point, is that it's hard to engage any fan base, but it is noticeable. It is noticeable in Milwaukee for sure.
Well, speaking of momentum, my beloved Milwaukee Panthers.
You bet, baby. They got
to make the tournament. That's what sucks.
And they probably won't, because it feels like every game is a coin flip. So like, if you flip it three times and it comes up heads in the Horizon League tournament, they might do it. I mean, but like they've got a bull on their team, you know. I've already lost his name.
That's all right. I have to look at the roster. Again.
You know, they got Ben Baker Jr. on this team. They got this BJ Freeman who's been really, really good. And I mean, I would think that if they get to the tournament, you're going to have that's going to be a focus. Like, oh, look at these interesting, you know, there's some interest level here. And the Badgers are probably not going to the NCAA tournament, and UWM could easily fill some of that void. So it could be a fun little march in Milwaukee. This is the first year. I mean, you could argue that it's all the way back to 03, although there's probably another year or two in there where Marquette is markedly better than Wisconsin. There have been some years where they're about the same, but mostly Wisconsin's had the edge on Marquette. And that is
Marquette, I see Marquette fans online and they're like, they can't allow themselves to be super happy about what's happening because they lost to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They're so like, how did that even happen? And that's a great question, because if they played again today, Marquette would murder them.
Well, I mean, that game went to overtime. It was a crazy game. And yeah, you're right. If it were today, Marquette would win by several touchdowns. They should feel bad about that loss. Honestly, you're right. But it's still, it's not going to matter. They're going to be, you know, like a two, three or four seed in the NCAA tournament. And it's going to be a good time. They should finally win a game. Shaka should finally get the monkey off his back with these first round tournament losses that he's had, and Marquette should finally get into the next round. And, you know, like maybe they're only a first weekend team and maybe just much ado about nothing, but I don't know. That's a team that's just really, they're really fun to watch. Really, really, really fun to watch.
Well, you can find JR's work at the Journal Sentinel, jsonline.com. How many podcasts are you doing over there too?
You know, I've done two of them today before this interview. I've already recorded two of them, but it is just the two. It's the Bucks and the Brewers podcast. And that's all I'm doing. And then, you know, occasionally I'll show up various places. Moses Bowl. That was the name that I was looking for. Moses Bowl, B-O-L.
I probably won't see you at AmFam, unfortunately. I don't think I'm going to be a credentialed member of the media.
How come? Really?
I don't know.
Find it. You can make that work,
Bart. I could. The Bucks would credential me.
You have a very good logo for the Bart Winkler Show. I feel like you could make that work. Like, I'm on the Bart Winkler Show. Look at my letterhead. It's awesome. That's a really good logo.
Yeah, the Blue Wire folks made it.
It's beautiful.
I'm going to look the profit
official, and I am official. Get me his credential. You could get in.
My guy Toby Altizer tried to via the Packers, and they're like, we don't do podcasts, and we've never heard of whatever you're saying.
That's cold. They're sticklers, though. The Brewers, they've got lots of seating. Come on.
Yeah, Brewers. They got room. My seat's still warm. My body's not dead yet.
Yeah.
JR, appreciate you, buddy.
Absolutely. Anytime, man. We'll do this again.
Our thanks to JR Radcliffe. Great to bounce some Wisconsin-related things off of him. And really, I just needed someone to talk to ail me through my pain of being rejected by Batteries Plus. Couple more voicemails I want to play, thanks to our friends at Carl's Place. Also, I did want to bring this up. We found this up on Friday. So JR alluded to some Bucks ownership stuff. On Friday, well, here's the article from the AP. Cleveland Browns owners reportedly seeking share of Bucks. The Browns owners D and Jimmy Haslam are taking another shot at the NBA. They're in talks to buy a minority stake in the Milwaukee Bucks. The Haslams have explored buying other pro teams, including the Timberwolves in the past. They are now seeking 25% share, currently held by Bucks co-owner Mark Lazary. There is no timeline for the agreement on the sale. Lazary and Edens bought the Bucks for about $550 million in 2014 with pledges to keep the team in Milwaukee. They own the Browns. They own the Columbus Crew. The Browns have been terrible in this span. He runs, what is it, the Pilot J? What the hell is that place called? Flying J. And there's, like, lawsuits against him. And then there's been scandal, but he, like, always gets unscathed. Look, so we talked Bucks and Brewers, and this is where I am careful to say this with Mark Antanasio. I don't like that they don't spend as much as it's perceived that they could spend. I feel like they could be doing more. Am I wrong? I don't know. The perception is that I am not. But with Mark, I never have to worry about them leaving. At least that's how I feel. I don't feel like they're going to leave. I don't feel like he's going to sell the team either. I think he's going to give it to his kids. They're not going to leave. So that's what's hard about rooting in. You know, we have the Packers, and we know they're not going to leave. Because if they weren't set up the way that they would be, every 10 years there'd be the possibility of a new guy coming in and moving the team somewhere else. So we should be thankful of that. So don't make fun of, like, Packer stock owners. I get, like, now it's like, but we're not moving. I mean, an owner can't just come. We can't just – you're not just going to give 25% of the Packers to Jimmy Haslam or some guy that, you know, doesn't seem to be on the up and up. Lazary, Edens, you know, these guys are fine. They're keeping the team here. They won us a championship. I'm not going to simp over billionaires like some people love to. Like some people love simping over billionaires. I don't get it. Yeah, one thing that stuck with me is you don't become a billionaire by being a good person. There are some weird and bad things you had to do along the way. We're talking billions of dollars. I think that our brains have a hard time computing billions to millions. A billion is 1,000 million, not 100, 1,000. A billion is 1,000 million. That's a billion. That's a lot of money. That's an unbelievable amount of money. If I had $1 million, I don't even know what I would do with it. Now have that 1,000 times and then more. They can just come in, own sports teams. You know, we have a connection to the team. Just another piece of the portfolio for these guys. As long as things don't get ruined, I mean, I don't really care who much, you know, if Haslam's going to come in and say, oh, I'll spend more money for the luxury tax. You take it out of my pocket. I want to win. That's one thing. I don't want things to change because they've been good. You know, that's the thing. When you get an ownership that goes fine, not everything's been great. Not everything's been perfect, but they won a championship. They're spending money. They kept all their guys. You know, Edens and Lazary could have come in here and totally bungled this thing. And it looked like they were gonna when they you know, forced Jason Kidd here, but they found a way to win, keep Giannis, win a title, stay competitive. The Deer District's been great. I mean, if you look at pictures what that space used to be, I do really think they're doing good outreach in the community. So we got a good thing going. And I think the fear is that it changes, and Jimmy Haslam's got, like, there's a lot of red flags around that rather than another guy like the Suns dude who wanted a part and then, yeah, now they should have sold to the Suns, dude. If the Bucks lose to the Suns in the finals because of Kevin Durant, then I'm going to be pissed. But that guy had so many months. That guy, it's just billions. Just our favorite teams are just being tossed around by billionaires. That kind of sucks. But what are you going to do? All right, a couple more voicemails. And that's something that we can talk about more after Bucks Celtics. I'll be doing a live show on YouTube. I do want to have Hot Take Jake. So this happened the other night where we had somebody call up the show late and say they'd listen more, but their wife can't stand Hot Take Jake. So here he is.
Good blue, blue, blue. This is your boy, Hot Take Jake. Friday morning, I'm just a little bit loopy listening to what the hell was going on Thursday night. Mad props to Tony for managing his load. And also, before I get into my main point here, I think you guys got to stop worrying about my takes and start worrying about other things. Like, if your wives are mentioning me specifically by name, I mean, maybe that's something that you need to take a step back and reevaluate that whole thing. But just so you guys know, Mrs. Hot Take is very open. So, you know, just be careful about mentioning me too much around the old lady. Anyways, I wanted to talk about Aaron Rodgers because what the hell else would we talk about? I want people to start calling their shots. And I think I had an epiphany. This is how this is all going to play out. Aaron doesn't want to come back, and Green Bay wants to move on. But naturally, it's important to Aaron how he looks in all of this. So what's going to happen is it's going to leak through the media that he does want to come back to Green Bay, knowing full well that he's already a Raider or he's already a Jet. Just because he wants the media, he wants people to be on his side. It's like breaking up with somebody or not breaking up with somebody. You want to break up with each other, but nobody wants to be the bad person and make that move. That's what I think is going to happen. He's going to try to make Green Bay look as bad as possible in this whole thing and ultimately end up somewhere else. That's all I got. Love the show. Love you guys. Love how weird it got last night. And keep my name out your wife's mouth.
Hot take, Jake. Just a Rodgers-Packers thing, and that looks like it's going to come to a head pretty soon. I don't know. What did I say, that he wasn't going to get traded? Man. It feels like he's going to get traded, right? It just feels like both the Packers and Rodgers don't want to come out looking like the bad guy. I don't know what the Packers are so worried about. They did it before and it worked. But even then, back then, like, the Packers did not want to trade Rodgers or Favre to the Vikings. Favre then comes back and beats you. Packers would play the Raiders this year. Maybe that dictates where he goes. I think you just send him to Kansas City for a 6th-round pick. Just be like, just get him out of here. Rodgers be like, well, I'm not even going to play. And be like, yeah, we don't care. Let's get out of here. That's obviously stupid, but I don't know. Don't judge me too hard. Unless you've walked a mile in my shoes. Like, I got rejected by Batteries Plus today. Here's Marcus from Fall Creek.
Bart, Marcus in Fall Creek. Just had an idea and wanted to chime in on something. I was listening to an older episode from the Lakers game a couple of nights ago, and Matt in the Falls eating the ice cream cone and everybody making fun of different events that happened that night, whether it's Tony having a date or whatever else. I don't know, man. I don't know. I want to know two things, though. What are we called as fans? Because, like, different radio shows or different podcasts, you know, like, have their own thing. Like, what are we? Because whatever that group is, I totally feel like I'm a part of it. I feel like I am sitting at a bar with all of you, like, having a beer and laughing, and, you know, just it's hard without the, you know, the YouTube stuff to chime in, but I absolutely love it. So I want to know what we are, and two, like, how can we get this thing to be like a bar where we could all be at a bar? I think it'd be a really super awesome idea. Not anything near a, you know, cigar dinner or anything like that. But I think it'd just be really cool to plan like a Brewers Day for Winkler fans, or do something cool like that where we could all meet up and hang out. And because I really honestly feel like this is a group that I just want to be a part of. And I listen to it daily and love it. So those are my two things. I hope to hear from you. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Well, yeah, I don't. I mean, that's very nice. And I think that a big part of why the podcast is, I think, making you feel that way is because of everybody that joins. You know, I plaster my name on the show. It's the thing that I'm doing, but I don't, like, I rely on people to want to join, and people do join. And I do feel like we're building, you know, somewhat of a community. So I'm totally open to do it. I just got to commit myself to do something and try to come up with something, but that'll be something that I force myself to do because I think it'd be fun, and it would be all fun to get together. Winkler Warriors is a name that's been out there. Winkler Whack Pack, that's too much like Howard, although the alliteration's nice. I don't know. You guys can talk amongst yourselves on that. All right, that'll wrap it up for Tuesday. I hope you have a good Valentine's Day. Again, I'll be spending mine I'll go to my wife. Hey, do you want to put the kid to bed? And she'll be like, Tuesdays are your night. I'll be like, Bucks Celtics. And I'll come down here and do a post game show and get drunk. So that's my plans. I hope you guys have a good night. And we will talk to you after Bucks Celtics. And that'll be Wednesday's show as well. The Bart Winkler Show. See ya!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.